Vyaktam.
It is clear.
Quam.
Having the best behavior.
Prajapatihe.
Of Prajapati Dasa.
Yes.
The pet. Atmajanam. Of the daughters.
Asi.
You are.
Subru.
Oh, you with beautiful eyebrows.
May.
My.
Mata.
Considered.
Tata api.
Yet.
Manam.
Honor.
Na.
Not.
Pituhu.
From your father.
Prapatsyase.
You will meet with.
Mad ashrayat.
From connection with me.
Gaha.
Daksha.
Paritapyate.
Is feeling pain.
Yataha.
From whom? Translation, my dear white-complexioned wife. It is clear that many of the daughters of Daksha, you are the pet. Yet you will not be honored at his house because of your being my wife. Rather, you will be sorry that you are connected with me. You can repeat, my dear white-complexioned wife.
My dear white-complexioned wife.
It is clear that of the many daughters of Daksha.
It is clear that of the many daughters of Daksha.
You are the pet.
You are the pet.
Yet you will not be honored.
Yet you will not be honored.
At his house.
At his house.
Because of your being my wife.
Rather, you will be sorry
that you are connected with me.
So,
purport by Zvangri, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Bodhisattva put forward the argument that even if Sati proposed to go alone without her husband, still she would not be received well because she was his wife. There was every chance of a catastrophe, even if she wanted to go alone. Therefore, Lord Shiva indirectly requested her not to go to her father's house. So it's a short purport, so we'll read the next verse with the translation and purport. Text 21. Prapachyamanena ridhaturendriya samriddhibe purushaburi sakshanam akalpaisham arirodamanjasa parampadam dveshti yathasura.
One who is conducted by false ego and thus always distressed, both mentally and sensually, cannot tolerate the opulence of self-realized persons. Being unable to rise to the standard of self-realization, he envies such persons as much as demons envy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So purport, the real reason for the enmity between Lord Shiva and Daksha is explained here. Daksha was envious of Lord Shiva because of Shiva's high position as an incarnation of a quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because Shiva was directly in contact with the Supersoul and was therefore honored and given a better sitting place than he. There were many other reasons also. Daksha, being materially puffed up, could not tolerate the high position of Lord Shiva, so his anger at Lord Shiva's not standing up in his presence was only the final manifestation of his envy. Lord Shiva is always in meditation and always perceives the Supersoul as expressed here by the words Purusha Buddhi Shakshanam. The position of one whose intelligence is always absorbed in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very great and cannot be imitated by anyone, especially an ordinary person. When Daksha entered the arena of Yajna, Lord Shiva was in meditation and might not have seen Daksha enter, but Daksha took the opportunity to curse him because Daksha had maintained an envious attitude toward Lord Shiva for a long time. Those who are actually self-realized see every individual body as a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature is residing in everyone's body. If one offers respect to the body, it is not to the material body, but to the presence of the Supreme Lord. Thus, one who is always in meditation upon the Supreme Lord is always offering him obeisances. But since Daksha was not very elevated, he thought that obeisances were offered to the material body. And because Lord Shiva did not offer respect to his material body, Daksha became envious. Such persons, being unable to rise to the standard of self-realized souls like Lord Shiva, are always envious. The example given here is very suitable. Asuras, demons, or atheists are always envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They simply want to kill him. Even in this age, we find some so-called scholars commenting on Bhagavad Gita who are envious of Krishna. When Krishna says, Manmana bhavapad bhaktaha, that's from the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 65. Always think of me, become my devotee, and surrender unto me. The so-called scholars comment that it is not to Krishna that we have to surrender. That is envy. The asuras or atheists, the demons, without reason or cause, are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, instead of offering respect to self-realized persons, foolish men who cannot approach the highest standard of self-realization are always envious, although there is no reason. Okay? So, Om Gana Timadanda Shah Garanjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Miditam Gena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So it's quite interesting that Daksha is preaching to his wife. He starts off the preaching interacting with his wife, utilizing her connection or her parent connection, because we don't want to criticize Sati, with the mode of passion. And actually that's also the same mode that demons have too, the mode of passion. Like it's described in the Gita, those in the mode of passion, they worship the demons. Those in the mode of ignorance worship who? Does anyone know? Ghosts and spirits. And those in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. So, in the mode of passion, one is very much concerned with position, prestige, appreciation, praise. These are all different things. And so, it's interesting that here in the first verse, Sati is also being approached by Lord Shiva, who understands that her interest is in praise. Because he's addressing her. How is he addressing her? It's so interesting. He says, Subhru, oh, you with the beautiful eyebrows. Oh, my God. It's enough to give a sannyasi a nervous breakdown just hearing that. And of course, Prabhupada translates that as my dear white complexion wife. And actually, it's a fact that generally the ladies like that sort of attention. You know, so I've seen that. Actually, if you give lady, not Krishna conscious, if someone's actually Krishna conscious, you give a lady that sort of attention, say, and you know, not only that, you may call her by pet names and things like that. Then the lady actually, you know, follows you, does what you want. And it may be a temptation, you know, sometimes you think, well, I can have a lot of followers just by calling it cutie pie. Of course, we don't call anyone cutie pie. But it's like wanting attention. You understand? People want attention. Just like children. There's a child, right? And he wants attention. There's nothing wrong with it. We're not criticizing children. But he wants, you know, he wants attention. He'll cry. He'll do anything. And if you give him attention, he'll, what is that called? Not gurgle. Something like that. When a gurgle. Well, anyway, he'll gurgle with happiness. Like that. So it's just, he just did it, or what? See? He's illustrating the point I'm making in class. Now, I'm not saying he's in the mode of passion, but, you know, that's it's one of the symptoms. you know, if you give someone, like, you know, you see all the time, like, the ladies that want a flat, they're given a flower by their husband, they're given attention, and they just, like Prabhupada said, like, in household life, it's the husband's duty to give the wife, you know, nice saris, nice prasadam, things like that, and sweet words, and the wife is, will serve faithfully that way. So, not to criticize women, but, you know, generally in the material world, the ladies are influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance, isn't it? So therefore, they can be manipulated, you know. And so therefore, Prabhupada said that the ladies have to be guided by their husband or their father or their son. Otherwise, they can be easily manipulated. It's not that difficult. You just tell someone, you know, of course I don't do this. You know, you just tell someone, you know, you have beautiful eyebrows or something. Goes, no, I don't. Wouldn't do that. Or you have, or you're so intelligent, or you figure out something you can tell the ladies. So anyway, so Lord Shiva is understanding this psychology. Krishna, that's all right. We can tell her. It's nice to nicer to have him here than not to have him here. No, it's not. I'm happy to have him here. He evens up the average, the ratio between men and women. It's one more man. So so even if he cries, it's ecstasy. At least it's a man crying. So anyway, so instead of a woman crying. So that's why in the Vedic system, you know, generally it's recommended that the ladies be protected because they can be manipulated. Because if someone is in the mode of passion, not let's forget about this ladies now so you don't get insulted, but if someone is in the mode of passion, and of course nowadays, of course, it would be lucky if we have people in the mode of passion. Generally, people are in the mode of ignorance, which is like laziness, procrastination, you know. They're not getting too angry because they're just sleeping all day long or smoking marijuana. Just like Gopal was telling me that, you know, he really has to be careful about the people he rents to because, I mean, generally they're smoking marijuana. And I said, why don't you just kick them out? He says, well, I have to catch them in the act to kick them out. Anyway, so that's mode of ignorance. But in the mode of passion, you know, and generally, what is the mode of passion? So much wealth do I have today, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, so much more do I want tomorrow. It doesn't only mean money. It can be like you look at a car, like I've given that example before, that sometimes I look at a car that's very attractive, like a Mercedes or BMW. There's like Gopal told me last night, he said, oh, this devotee has a 500 Mercedes. Wow, 550 or something like that. And I was like, wow, let me become his friend. So that's passion. You want something that someone else has. And why do you want something that someone else has? Because you think that that thing will give you happiness. And of course, Krishna says, happiness in the mode of passion is like what in the beginning, what like what in the end? Nectar in the beginning, poison at the end. And the typical example is the romantic relationship. It's just like, seems like such nectar. You know, a boy and a girl, they look at each other and fall in love. But then at the end, it's struggle, pa, ma, ba, parishrama. What does that mean? That's pavarga. We're interested in apavarga. That means getting liberated from the material world. But pavarga means entanglement in the material world. And that pa means basically hard work, foaming at the mouth, you know, fainting, va, fear, mrityu. It can be analyzed in different ways. So that's what happens with happiness and the mode of passion. You just think of it. It's so nice if I get that. And then what happens is that very same thing causes you all these different symptoms. So it's interesting, the mode of passion. And Lord Kapiladev, also talks about devotees in the mode of passion. And devotees in the mode of passion are generally, you know, envious or separatist. This is described by Lord Kapiladev. We actually read that previously. So we have to be able to identify these symptoms of passion in ourselves too. And even, let's say, one's doing something for Krishna, the endeavor can actually become passionate. I remember many years ago, I was friends, and I'm still friends with this person who's coming back to the movement. This person was actually involved, you were in charge of book production, book distribution, actually like that. And, you know, very, very dedicated, but his consciousness became overcome by the mode of passion. And when it became overcome by the mode of passion, he neglected his japa. You know, sometimes we would ask him, you know, when are you chanting your japa? And he would say, when you're not looking. And, you know, that's kind of hard, because it wasn't in the temple room, and it wasn't when I went in his office or anything like that. But he was dedicated to carrying out Prabhupada's mission, but the mood was in the mode of passion. In other words, neglecting his sadhana. And that, of course, is called by Rupa Goswami over-endeavor, like we find in the Upadeshamrita. That over-endeavor, over-eating, achahara, prayasascha, pajalpam nimahagraha, janasangas chaloidam cha, tadbir bhakti vinashati. These are the causes of deviation from Krishna consciousness, isn't it? Overeating, over-collecting, prayasas means over-endeavor, etc. So we see this sometimes. We just over-endeavor for something in the name of doing something for Krishna. And then the symptom of that is we actually get angry at other devotees. That's one of the symptoms. Or we are envious. I mean, we can analyze that word envy a little later. But actually, you know, the envy is exhibited by our speaking harshly to other devotees or other persons like that. That means we're impassioned. These are different symptoms by which we can identify that we're impassioned. That if, you know, someone says something to us while we're engaged in our devotional service, we get angry with them, that means that there's some influence of passion. Okay, so here you find that sati is actually being influenced by passion, and Lord Shiva is actually, and she's also wanting to go to the ceremony so she can show off her clothes and be with her relatives. That's a whole big thing. That's another thing I should mention too. Like disassociating with relatives and seeing your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I mean, it's just like, why is it mode of passion? Because it's just I and mine. You know, things connected to me. Whereas in the mode of goodness, one sees one underlying spiritual nature. That's, according to Krishna, that is actually an understanding of the mode of goodness. One sees everyone equally. And in the mode of passion, one makes distinction. In other words, sees different types of living entities and different types of bodies. In other words, as described here in the purport, you see people in terms of the body. You understand that? That's passion. Obviously, you see that people have different bodies. That's not, you know, that would be ignorance to not see that people have different types of bodies. I mean, that would be the deepest ignorance. But you identify the persons with the type of body they have. You know, white body, black body, American body, male body, female body. Just like even you see in the movement, sometimes people are very much like chauvinistic or feministic, you know, feminist. That's also passionate identification. When you actually concentrate on the type of body someone has. Or just like, oh yeah, just we were driving the other day and we were listening, we had the radio on to hear the news. And they were talking about, well, it was an advertisement for Purina dog food. And they were saying, actually it's really interesting. They were saying, when I come home every day, I'm greeted by my two friends, my dogs, and they're so happy, they're jumping up and down to see me. Because when I heard that, I was thinking, it would be nice to have someone like that. Jumped up and down to see me when I came home. But anyway, even disciples don't do that. But and then it went on to say that we have to do something about saving these dogs, that every box or bag of Purina dog chow that you buy goes to the shelters for the dogs, you know, the ASPCA. And if you want a new dog, you should go and adopt a dog from the from the pound. Here's the address of the pound. That means a shelter for dogs in Raleigh. So I was thinking like that. It's just like distinguishing between different, because if you say, oh, we have to save the cows, then people won't be so popular at that particular point. In other words, the dogs are popular because they please us. That's passion. Whereas the cows are popular in a different way because they please us with their flesh. That's all passion. So if you see society is permeated with this passionate type of discrimination, in other words, something that pleases me, then I treat it in a way so that it will please me. You understand? So the dog pleases me by being in my home and you know, rolling on the ground when it sees me. It's attractive now that I think of it. If you think, it is actually quite attractive. That's passion. You should be able to think like that. Hey, I'm being influenced by passion. I actually would like to have a dog that would roll on the ground, you know, kiss my feet. Yeah, the name is obsequious. It's always trying to please. That's what the name means. Obsequious. Bring me my newspaper. Well, of course, nowadays, bring me my computer. That would be kind of funny. The dog comes out with a computer in his teeth and brings the computer. So, you know, just the thought. And it does sound attractive, isn't it? If you think about it, that's passion. Because we want that appreciation. Or a cat. Your cats don't bring newspapers, usually. They just please us by the fur. Because they're so soft and cuddly. There's like an adult version of a teddy bear. So in other words, we're distinguishing between different entities, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, based upon the body, which is really interesting. So this attachment to, you know, things connected to the body is also in the mode of passion too. Like, you know, pumsa striya mitunivav metam, you know, the family, wife, etc., etc. It's also a mode of passion. Mode of passion. Of course, one has to do their duty. We're not saying that everyone should just drop their wives off at the nearest dog pound. That would not be a good idea. But, you know, you have your duty. We should be affectionate. But we should develop this mode of goodness vision where we see one underlying spiritual nature. Really important. We're meant to cultivate the mode of goodness. And that's what distinguishes a demon or demoniac consciousness from a devotee consciousness. It's the mode of passion, like that. And that's what distinguishes an advanced devotee from a Kanishtha Adhikari. It's the mode of passion. Because a Kanishtha Adhikari, how is he seen? A Kanishtha Adhikari is seeing the Lord is sitting in the temple, but he's not anywhere else. He's just in the temple, right? And he doesn't treat the devotees or the innocent he doesn't discriminate. He does discriminate, but he discriminates on how much the person gives them enjoyment rather than how much the person can take to Krishna consciousness or how the person can help him in Krishna consciousness, etc., etc. There's actually no spiritual discrimination. Discrimination should be there, but based on the mode of goodness. What is the mode of goodness discrimination? Mode of goodness discrimination is, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states, to accept everything favorable for advancing devotional service and reject everything unfavorable. Very simple. We're not giving up discrimination, but we're giving up mode of passion discrimination. Okay? So mode of goodness discrimination means to see one underlying type of living entity in every single type of body. And if you catch yourself being interested in profit adoration distinction, it's not that you just have to beat yourself up. That's another thing. You know, that's another problem. Because then when you beat yourself up, you say you're a rascal, which is also the mode of passion. As soon as you start beating yourself up, you're also in the mode of passion and ignorance. You say, oh, I'm so much in Maya, I'm such a demon, I'm such a rascal. Well, then you're also passionate by making that discrimination. So when one catches themselves in the mode of passion, and we're talking about being introspective. The other day we were talking about, you know, being introspective. When you think something, you should examine it. Before you speak, you should examine. Before you act, you should examine and see, you know, if it's pleasing to Krishna. So when you catch yourself thinking, acting, or getting ready to speak passionately, or in any way, think about it. Is this pleasing to Krishna or is it not pleasing to Krishna? So that's the sense of discrimination. And then by focusing on the concept of pleasing Krishna, then you rise to the mode of goodness. It's very simple. You don't have to negate the mode of passion because that's also passionate. You understand? Like a negation is also a passionate type of consciousness. So anyway, so here, Lord Shiva is preaching appropriately to his wife, understanding that she's interested in the mode of passion. My dear white complexion wife, my dear wife with the beautiful eyebrows. If you go there, you will be disrespected. So one of the mode of passion is interested in respect. And like Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, because Arjuna is acting as a kshatriya, what does he say? For one who has been honored, what does he say? Dishonor is worse than death. You know, if Krishna made that argument with me, I'd say, all right, not so bad to be dishonored. Helps me advance in Krishna consciousness. You understand? So in the mode of goodness, if someone dishonors you, what does it say? If someone criticizes me, he's my friend. If someone praises me, he's my enemy. So it's exactly the opposite. In the mode of passion, he who praises me is my friend, and he who criticizes me is my enemy. In the mode of goodness, you turn it around. Wow, that's cool, isn't it? That, yeah, criticize me, please. Helps me become detached from the material world. Helps me take shelter of Krishna. So anyway, but it's hard. It's actually really hard because, you know, we are attached to praise, isn't it? And appreciation. But ultimately, we have to go internal and develop our relationship with Krishna and just become really detached from the attempts to enjoy this material world. So Lord Shiva, in this particular case, was internal. He was enjoying his relationship with Krishna. Lord Shiva is always meditating. He is so much detached that it's described, you know, sometimes he doesn't even bother to put clothes on. The question is raised sometimes that Lord Shiva, his devotees become very opulent, but he's living like a pauper. And Lord Krishna, his devotees, you know, generally a little poverty-stricken, and he's living like a king. So people like to worship Lord Shiva because they don't care that he's living like a pauper. They want to live like a king, right? Think about it. It's not that people worship Lord Shiva and say, oh, my dear Lord Shiva, I wish we could do more for you so you could live in a better place. Do you ever hear that in the worship of Lord? No, I never hear that in the worship of Lord Shiva. They're just, you know, this Lord Shiva, you know, you're just out there, you know, just give us whatever, you know. Make it so I can steal Parvati, you know. You know, whoever's head I touch will split into a million pieces like that. Frikasura, right? Worshippers of Lord Shiva like that. It's not, I've never seen, oh, Lord Shiva, let me build you a nice house. Of course, they're trying to build temples sometimes, but for their own purpose, right? But with Krishna, I mean, even when they dress Lord Shiva, it's not the same as dressing Krishna, isn't it? Like Krishna, we put all this jewelry on and, you know, opulence. Lord Shiva, they just leave him there as a linga and bathe him. Isn't it? Think about it for a second. I mean, Krishna is more opulent. We dress him. He plays a flute. And he has his girlfriend. Of course, Lord Shiva has Parvati. But So it's really interesting. But the worshippers of Lord Shiva, generally, they're not interested in seeing Lord Shiva enjoy. They're interested in seeing themselves enjoy. Whereas the worshippers of Krishna, they're interested in seeing Krishna enjoy. And as far as their own enjoyment, their enjoyment is seeing Krishna enjoy. There's a different mentality. So one is the mode of passion, one is the mode of goodness. Anyway, so somehow or other, we have to develop that attitude that our desire is to see Krishna enjoy. You understand? We want Krishna to enjoy. And of course, that's what Lord Chaitanya states in the Shikshashtika very clearly, as we repeated that verse the other day, Yaslishabhapada Vanastamama Darshana Marmatam Guru Tava Yatatata Bhavadatu Lampato Mat Prananatas to save an opera. Krishna, you may do anything. I just want to see you enjoy. You understand? You may crush me. You may go running off with some other lady. Can you, like we mentioned, like how many women would say that to their husbands? Radhika, would you say that to your husband? You can run off with some other lady, it's all right. That's practical. A devotee is very practical. But you know, how many ladies would say that to the husband? You can run off. You know, I remember there was one couple, and the husband was proposing to marry a second wife, and he said, you know, can I have a second wife? And the lady said, yes, you can have another wife, but then that'll be your only wife. the gopis, I mean, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of the gopis, is saying to Krishna, you know, whatever you do, I just want you to enjoy. And that's bhakti, and that's transcendental goodness, whereas in the mode of passion, whatever you do, I want to enjoy. And that's worship of the demigods is like that. You understand? So anyway, so that's the real point here. And this is really what Lord Shiva is referring to in the next verse. One is conducted by false ego. He's thus always distressed, both mentally and sensually, and he cannot tolerate that someone else has something that he doesn't have. Such person envies the other person, and as much as demons envy the Supreme Personality of God. Very interesting, isn't it? Okay, so any questions or comments? Otherwise, we got a half minute. Yeah. What?
In the envy that we have of somebody else, how can we shift that?
Shift that by self-identification, thinking, I'm meant to give Krishna enjoyment.
So we see the other person as Krishna in the other person, and that if they have something we don't...
Well, then that's their quota. We can remember the Upanishad, someone else has his quota. I'm meant to use whatever I have in the service of Krishna, someone else will have more, someone else will have less. And if someone has less, we feel compassionate to them. If someone has more, then we actually, you know, can serve them or whatever, appreciate what they have. Anyway, not much time. So all glory and peace. Shri Radha Galokananda Ki Jai. Jai Radha Galokananda.